Amen. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Psalm 23. That has to be one of the greatest hymns ever penned. It's got to be. Psalm 23. We are walking through Psalm 22, 23, and 24. These three kind of make a trinity of psalms about Jesus. We finished up Psalm 22, the 22nd psalm, last time. And if you missed those, you can go online and check them out. But we see Jesus portrayed as the Savior. In Psalm 22, he is the suffering Savior. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? How he was pierced, how they stared on him, all the things that he endured, the suffering that Christ went through in Psalm 22. But it ends, the second half starts with this, but thou hast heard me. You heard my prayers, you heard my cries. And we see Jesus then praising the Father in the midst of his brethren. So he's in the congregation praising God. Why? Because though he was forsaken on the cross, when he became sin for us, he won the victory. He conquered death and hell and the grave. He defeated sin and death. And every problem that we have as human beings that separate us from God, Jesus made a way for us to be redeemed, to be restored, to be reconnected, to have the relationship with God that he always wants for us to have with him, to be his people, to walk with him. And so Psalm 22 is all about our Savior. Psalm 23, of course, is about Jesus as our shepherd. He is the good shepherd. He is the great shepherd. But I hope that today, with David, and by God's great and amazing grace with me today, you can say he is my shepherd. Let's stand together. We're going to read. We're going to pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the opportunity to gather. And as we stand to honor your word this morning, we pray that you'll fix our eyes on Jesus. Lord, I know we all have many burdens, and I pray that you'll help us now to lay those at the feet of Jesus, and that we would trust in you today. Father, I pray if anyone here or watching online has never been born again, that today would be the day they would trust in you. That today they would believe with all their heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that he died for their sins and rose again. Lord, they would call on your name and be saved. Lord, for all of us who are saved, I pray that your word would sink down into our ears, into our hearts, that we would be ready to hear from you today, that you would strengthen us and encourage our hearts and our spirits, that you'd forgive our sin, and that you would help us to follow you. Lord, you are my shepherd, and I am your sheep. I pray that you would help me to hear your voice and to follow you. Help us now as we look to your word. Speak to us. Remind us that it is the very word of God. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Please be seated. Some of you in the room today, just by the fact that we were reading Psalm 23, suddenly feel like you're in a funeral today. It seems like most of my Christian life, most of my life at all, the only time I ever heard Psalm 23 was at a funeral. We like to print them on the little, I don't know what you call those, little pamphlets, brochure. I hate to call it a brochure, the funeral brochure. I don't know what you call those things they print out, but so many times Psalm 23 is printed on there. And certainly it's a great psalm, but my mind growing up, I always associated Psalm 23 with death, with sadness, with sorrow. And nothing could be further from the truth. But when I was saved and I kind of grew up a little bit, I'm still working on that, but I read Psalm 23 as a believer. It changed everything because it's not a sad song. It's not a depressing song. It's not a sorrowful thing. I've associated with that because of funerals and people I loved and lost. But no, this is a song of hope. This is a song of rejoicing. This is a song of praise. Because of Psalm 22, our suffering Savior has made a way for us to be restored and redeemed. Now I get to live with Him. I get to follow Him. Now, I don't want to foreshadow too much, but Psalm 24, when we get to that, Jesus is seen as the sovereign. He is the King. He is the conquering King. And we can look forward to what He has in store for us in glory because of what He did for us on the cross. And in the meantime, we're here. And here's how we live day by day. From the time you're born again, you trust Jesus as your Savior, you believe in what He did for you on the cross for your salvation, to the day you get to see the King face to face and bow before His throne in glory, we're right here. And the Savior is our shepherd, and He is here to lead us. Now, I know I've used the illustration before, but I just can't miss it today because some of you haven't seen it. I want you to just imagine, if you would, for a second right now, you just close your eyes, just don't keep them closed. Some of you are like, I'm way ahead of you. My eyes are already closed. Could you guys all just close your eyes and picture in your mind for a second? Close your eyes. It's okay. I promise. Nothing bad's probably going to happen. Now imagine. Just hear these words and picture something in your mind. The Lord is my shepherd. All right, open your eyes. Did you picture something in your mind? Did anybody picture like a field with sheep and a shepherd? Anybody picture that? For a second? Some of you are like, I was thinking about lunch. Like I was imagining fajitas. It's okay. I know how it is. Our minds are fickle things and they wander. But a lot of you probably pictured shepherd and sheep. And you get that picture in your mind. And I heard this illustration one time, and it really struck me because I did that. I pictured when he said, close your eyes and imagine this, and he talked about the Lord as my shepherd, I pictured that. I pictured the shepherd in his white robe and his glory and his beauty, and I pictured the sheep all around in a beautiful field. And then he said, now where were you? And I thought about that because he said, did you imagine yourself right next to the shepherd? Were you right next to him? Were you close to him? Or were you far away? Maybe you imagine yourself and you were off in the back with the other sheep biting each other. I don't know. But it convicted me because in my mind, I didn't see myself close to the shepherd. I saw myself off with the sheep somewhere else. And it doesn't really matter. Maybe it doesn't affect you at all, but it convicted me because this is my heart. I want to be close to my shepherd. Jesus is the good shepherd. He said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. And I don't want to be like the fearful disciples who followed him afar off. I want to walk near him. I want to be close to him. There's a saying that the rabbis used to have that talked about following their rabbi and being so close that the dust of his sandals covered their robes. Like, I want to be close enough to Jesus that the dust off of his sandals is getting all over me. Does that make sense to you? I don't want to be so far away. I grew up in the country. Anybody ever grow up on dirt roads? Okay. Listen, when I was a kid and we were driving around the dirt roads around Braggs, the sand hills of Braggs, Oklahoma, there was always dust everywhere, right? And so when you're following somebody, you don't get close to them. You back off and drive on the wrong side of the road when the wind's blowing this way to stay out of the dust. Listen, there's no lines. It's fine. You get over when somebody's coming. We've tried to stay out of the dust. But when I'm following Jesus, I want to be close to him. I want the dust of his sandals to cover me. I want to be near him and follow him because he is my shepherd. I want you to just look at the possession here of the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. A lot of people could say the Lord is a shepherd. A lot of people could say the Lord is the good shepherd. A lot of people could say the Lord is a great shepherd. It's okay. It's just a wasp. You probably won't die unless you're allergic. And all the allergic people leave the room. Let me ask you a question. Can the devil say the Lord is the shepherd? Can the devil say the Lord is the good shepherd? Can the devil say the Lord is the great shepherd? He sure can. But you know what he can't say? And he'll never be able to say, the Lord is my shepherd. But the youngest child in this room who's old enough, who's at the age of accountability, can put their faith in Jesus and can say, the Lord is my shepherd. The oldest person in the room who would like to be in a competition, who would fight anybody in here for the title of chiefest of sinners, which, by the way, that's me. I am the chiefest of sinners. I am the worst of the worst. And yet he loved me and he saved me. And no matter what I've done, I can stand here today and say, the Lord is my shepherd. I'm not worthy of the least of his mercies. And yet he loved me and he sent Jesus to die for me and he saved me. And even though I am wretched and vile, he is my shepherd. He's my shepherd. So who is he? The Lord. Man, I wish one of y'all kill that thing. Somebody kill it. I'm going to have like two dudes running around the room trying to kill the wasp and everybody else not being distracted. Good luck. It's like it was in school. Like, I remember the days when something like this would happen in class and like everybody's so distracted. You know what that is? That's a demon possessed. And it needs to be exercised. No, it's just mad now. That's all right. We'll take the time. It's fine. All right, let's hear it for Brother Daryl. Good job. Sister Kim on the assist. She wounded it. All right. Yeah, it would have. If he hadn't have stepped out, it'd been all over you. It's all Kim. All right. So we had to call the Marines for that thing. All right. We good now? Whose shepherd is he? He is ours. He's my shepherd. You can say the Lord is my shepherd. The only way you can say that is if you've been born again. The only way you can say that is if you put your faith in Jesus. You can't say the Lord is my shepherd because you're sitting in a church today. Like, that's not what makes him your shepherd. You can't say, well, I was baptized. And I want to take a time to talk about this just a little bit because there is so much confusion about this in our community. I talk to people all the time and ask them if they are a Christian. And they say, yeah, I'm a Christian. I'll say, when were you born again? They say, well, I was baptized. When? Baptism is not when you were born again. I need you to hear this. You're born again when you put your faith in Jesus Christ. You get baptized because you're born again. You're not baptized, and that's what makes you born again. Do you understand what I'm saying? What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. It's his sacrifice and our faith in that sacrifice that saves us. So Jesus didn't become your shepherd the day you were baptized, whether it was a baptistry like this or in a creek or a pond or whatever. That's not when he became your shepherd. He became your shepherd the moment you put your faith in him as your Savior. You trusted in him. Now, you should be baptized after you're saved. You should be baptized after you're saved. It's a picture of what he did for you, but it's not what saves you. It's not what makes him your shepherd. I'm going to keep preaching, I'm going to keep saying it because I almost every week we knock on somebody's door and they tell me, oh yeah, I'm saved, I was baptized then. And so we have to clarify, we have to try to explain because I want people to not trust in their baptism to get them into heaven. Don't you? I want people to be trusting in Jesus. So the Lord is my shepherd. He is mine. And it's kind of weird to think about it this way, but he says he's my shepherd. So when we're just looking at the words, the possessive is ours. Like, he belongs to me. He is my shepherd. So the sheep out in the field can look to the shepherd and then they can know that he is their shepherd. Like, that he's mine. Not some other shepherd, but him. You guys with me? Believe it or not, most everybody on this planet has a shepherd. Everybody's following something. Jesus told some Jews one day when he was preaching to them, telling them that if they wanted to be his disciples, they had to continue in his word. And he told them, you are of your father, the devil. And you're doing the same works that he did because he was a deceiver from the beginning and you are deceived and being deceived. And so they had a shepherd. Their shepherd was the devil. And by the way, before you knew Jesus, the devil was your shepherd too. You were of him. You followed him. You belonged to him. But the moment you trusted Jesus, you were completely separated from the devil. You're completely separated from his power and his influence, and you don't belong to him anymore. Now you belong to Jesus. The Bible puts it this way. You were translated from the kingdom of darkness, from darkness to the kingdom of light. You were brought from death to life, and now the Lord is your shepherd. And we'll get into this more, but because the Lord is your shepherd, you ought to live like it. You ought to live like Jesus is the shepherd, like he's the one leading. The problem is most of us in the room have at least times in our lives when we're that stubborn sheep that's always going its own way. You guys know what I'm talking about? Sheep are wonderful animals. But anybody who's ever been around sheep or knows anything about them knows that sheep are incredibly dumb animals. I just offended some people who have sheep. My sheep are not dumb. I love them. Sheep are not smart. Sheep cannot survive in the wild without a shepherd. These sheep that we're talking about, they have to have a shepherd to lead them, to protect them, to guide them. And guess what, friends? You and I have to have a shepherd. Can't live without our shepherd. Can't survive without our shepherd. So who is he? If you'll notice in the verse, the word Lord here is all capitals, and that's a clue for you in your King James Bible and most English translations. That means that this is the proper name of God. This is what we would call Jehovah or Yahweh. The translators didn't write his name. They viewed his name as so sacred and so holy that they didn't even want to write his name, so they just used Lord in all caps. By the way, I don't think there's anything wrong with saying Jehovah or Yahweh. Why? Because God said, when you read it in your Bible, Jehovah or Yahweh is my name. I am God and there is no other. So he told us his name, so it's okay to use his name. We don't know exactly how to pronounce it, but we're in Oklahoma. We don't know how to pronounce anything. Except for the names of town in Oklahoma, and nobody else in the world knows how to pronounce. Right? Okay, if you go to the northeast here, in the northeast corner, it's not Miami, it's Miami. Miami, that's right. And I can't even tell you some of the other ones. Shodo. I mean, people say the funniest things when they're trying to say names around here. We got great names in Oklahoma. We don't know how to pronounce them. So it's okay if you can say Jehovah or you can say Yahweh. People pronounce it different ways. It doesn't matter. What we're doing is we're talking about him and who he is. And he is the Lord, the creator of heaven and earth. We read in Genesis 1 that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. We get to chapter 2 and it says the Lord God looked at everything and he made and he saw that it was very good. So when we say the Lord is my shepherd, the person we're talking about here is the creator of the universe, the one who spoke and put the stars into the galaxies. This is the one. And I love it. I don't know if any of you like the astronomy and stuff like that. Did anybody stay up and try to watch the eclipse the other night of the moon? So you guys did that. Anybody try to look at the alignment of the planets a couple of weeks ago?
I didn't know anything about it.
Never been on the internet. Didn't know what was happening. I love looking at the stars. I love looking at the galaxy. I like looking at the images. It was the Hubble telescope most of my adult life. Now we have the James Webb telescope. And the James Webb telescope can see farther into the universe than ever before and give us more detailed pictures of things that we've ever seen before. And it's just awesome because every time they make a new telescope that sees farther out there, they see stuff we've never seen before. And it's just bigger than we can even begin to possibly comprehend. And God just said, let there be. Isn't that awesome? We studied in Sunday school this morning. We read Colossians 1, and it says that Jesus created all things. He created all things, and by him all things consist. In other words, all things are held together by Jesus. Hebrews tells us that he holds all things together by the word of his power. And Jesus is the one who created everything, the one who holds everything together. And from the farthest galaxies that we've not even seen yet to the very atoms that make up every cell in your body, Jesus created it, he made it, and he is sustaining it. Your brain can't fire another synapse without his authority and his power. And you can't take another breath or have another thought or blink your eyes or do anything unless Jesus makes it happen. I'm just trying to tell you that the one we're talking about, who is our shepherd, is the most powerful, almighty God of heaven. That's who he is. So what I'm trying to tell you is you could have some comfort today, because no matter what your burdens are, no matter what your troubles are, no matter what's going on, the one who is watching over you is the one who made you. Made everything. What a savior. The Lord. Whenever Moses was at the burning bush, you guys remember that? He's out in the wilderness and he sees a bush on fire. And he goes over to check it out. And as he gets closer, he notices that the bush is burning, but it's not burning up, like it's not consumed. Do any of you guys ever do that? Do you guys ever chase fires? Don't do that. Don't do that. People see smoke and they're like, oh, but there's a fire. And they're just like, let's go check it out. Moses goes over to see what was going on. And when he gets close, God speaks to him from heaven. And he says, take off your sandals off your feet. You're standing on holy ground. And as he's standing there, Yahweh, Jehovah God, is speaking to him from the bush and telling him how he's going to use him to deliver the people. And you remember what Moses said? Who do I tell them sent me? And the Lord says, I am that I am. This is who he is, the self-existent God. In our Sunday school class a little while ago, we're trying to explain. I'm trying to make sense of the fact that God has always existed. That's hard for me to understand. Hey, everybody in the room, you have a birthday. If the Lord is your shepherd, you have a spiritual birthday, the day that you were born again. And from that moment, you're going to live forever and ever. But Jesus, he doesn't have a birthday. You say, well, he was born in Bethlehem. But Jesus existed before Bethlehem. When you read in your Bible, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And God said, that was Jesus. How do I know? Well, Colossians 1 says, all things were created by him. John 1 says that he created all things, and without him was not anything made that was made. So everything created, Jesus did that. This is my shepherd. The one who created everything, the Lord, the creator of all things. That's who we're following. We want to know who he is. And I want you to get this. I love this little word. Let me point it out to you. See that? What's it say? Is that a good word? There's a confidence that the psalmist has. He doesn't say the Lord could be. The Lord might be. I hope that he would be. I wish that he could be. There's none of that. It is a definitive statement. He says the Lord is my shepherd. Who is my shepherd? The Lord. And it's not that I want him to be or he could be. I really hope, I'm wringing my hands that he might be. No, he is my shepherd. And if you put your faith in Jesus, then you can say with confidence today, the Lord is my shepherd. Not that he will be, but he is. And let me help you out. Somebody in this room today or watching online, I know you need to hear this. Not that the Lord was my shepherd. It's never going to be past tense. It's always going to be present tense. I know some people, I meet them, and they're like, well, I was saved, but then I know I'm not today. Listen, if you were saved, you are saved. If you're not saved today, you never were saved. Everybody with me? Why? Because Jesus gives everlasting life, and if you have been born again, then you live forever. So the Lord can't start being your shepherd and then stop being your shepherd. So it's not the Lord was my shepherd, the Lord is my shepherd. There's a confidence here, and it changes everything, doesn't it? Okay, real quick poll. How many of you have been worried about something this week? You just be honest and raise your hand. Okay. And some of you are like, no, I'm too spiritual for that. I don't get worried. I just have concern. I think that there are a lot of things we're concerned about, and maybe some of that, sometimes that's true, but I think if we're honest with ourselves today, there's times we're worried. But you know what helps me? To remember that the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. We've already kind of talked about this a lot, but the next word is my. My. I told you that he can't be your shepherd because you're a member of a church, because you got baptized. One of the things that Brother Caleb Rowland was here and preached to our young people on a Thursday night after they had worked and played and done all that. We had worship and preaching here. Brother Caleb Rowland came and preached, and he preached from Ephesians 4 about our ministry. You might remember in Ephesians 4:12, he said that he gave apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. And he talked to our young people, and I appreciated it so much because he told our young people that they have a ministry. But one of the things he pointed out is that you can't have your parents' ministry. It's not their faith. It has to be your faith. Listen, I grew up in church because my grandmother grew up in church. She went to Landmark Missionary Baptist Church, and that's where she took her kids. And when my mom was bringing us up, that's where she took us. But I am not following Jesus. He's not my shepherd because of my mother's faith ultimately, or my grandmother's faith ultimately. It's because at some point I put my faith in Jesus and he became my shepherd. It's got to be personal. We got a lot of young people in the room. And I thank God for you. I thank God that you got grandparents and parents or whoever that loves you enough to bring you here. I think being in church is a very good thing and an important thing for all of us. You guys agree with that? Church is important. Why? Well, because this is how we're supposed to come together, to exhort one another, to provoke one another to love and good works. That's why we come together, so that we can worship him together, serve him together, grow together, encourage one another, build one another up. All those things are supposed to happen. I think being here is great, but let me tell you something. You could go your whole life, be here because mom and dad make you or because grandma and grandpa make you, but if it never becomes your faith, then it won't do you any good in eternity. You have to put your faith in Jesus. You have to start following Jesus. He has to be your shepherd. Why would I point that out? Because I've seen a lot of people come up in church, grow up in church, and then as soon as they get a chance, they're out the door and they never come back. Have you? Or I see them leave, get out there and do all their stuff out in the world, and then they get married, have kids, and they're like, man, I really want to raise my kids in church, and then they come back. Can I just help you out? It doesn't have to be that way. You can follow Jesus every day. You can lead your family to follow Jesus every day, and you can just keep following Jesus for the rest of your life. You don't ever have to take a break. What happens when the sheep get away from the shepherd? They get in trouble. There's danger. There's danger out there. I want to be close to him. The Lord is my shepherd. The reason that he's my shepherd, is because I'm his sheep. So we're looking at it from our perspective, the Lord is my shepherd, but the only reason that's possible is because of what Jesus did in Psalm 22. He belongs to me because I belong to him. He's not my shepherd because of something I've done. He's my shepherd because of what he's done. We won't take the time to read it this morning, but in John 17, Jesus prays. He prays for his disciples, the ones the Father gave him, and he prays for those who will believe because of their testimony. So he's praying for his disciples in his day, and he's praying for those who will be saved later. That would be us. But he prays for them to be one with him and with the Father. He prays for there to be this unity, and he talks about the fact that I am theirs and they are mine. Isn't that awesome? Like, it makes sense to me that I belong to Jesus because he bought me. It makes sense to me that I belong to him. Remember, you're not your own because you are bought with a price. Right? You belong to him because he died for you and rose again. He paid the price for you. He redeemed you. We were like slaves on an auction block belonging to the devil, and Jesus comes in and pays our price, and he redeems us to himself, and we belong to him. Amen. We're his. And so that's the reason I can say he's mine, is because I'm his. John 10:14, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Jesus is speaking to Jews, and he's letting them know that this kingdom, my fold, my flock, is going to not just be you, it's going to be other sheep. He's talking about the Gentiles. And he's letting them know that I am the shepherd of this fold, but I'm going to be the shepherd of those sheep too, and I'm going to bring everyone together. And he did that at the cross. He died for all. He brings all of us together. When he died on the cross, the veil was torn in the temple from top to bottom and opened the way to the mercy seat of God through his blood so that everyone can come in. Anyone can come in. All who believe will come in and be with him eternally. I am the good shepherd. Know my sheep and am known of mine. We are his and he is ours. Our possession. He owns us. We belong to him, but we own him because he is our shepherd, not another. I've read multiple times in different books and heard sermons, but I remember one story in particular. I know I shared it with you before, I'm sure, but a guy was sitting on a hill at a crossroads in Palestine, in that area around Jerusalem, around Israel. And as he was sitting there, he saw the dust coming up in the distance from two different directions, and he heard a shepherd singing. And then he heard the other shepherd singing. And in that part of the country, this was years ago, I think in the 1930s, as he was watching this happen, the shepherd was out front and he's singing to his sheep. And his sheep are following him. This other guy's coming and they're going to meet at this intersection. The timing's just perfect. And the other guy's coming and he's singing to his sheep. And they just cross in this mass of sheep bodies. He's like, what in the world's going to happen? They're going to lose their sheep. But the shepherd just keeps singing and he just keeps walking. And the other shepherd just keeps singing, and he just keeps walking, and the sheep just sort themselves out, and they follow their shepherd. Isn't that awesome? You know, there are a lot of voices in the world today. Voices on the radio, voices on the internet, voices on the TV, voices among your family and friends. There's voices everywhere. I just want to say this today. Listen for the voice of your shepherd. You ought to know it. He says, my sheep know my voice. You ought to be able to recognize the voice of Jesus. If you're confused about that, then let me help you out. Where you can hear from him, without a doubt, is right here. When I read this, I don't have to worry about whether these are my thoughts or somebody else's thoughts. I know I'm hearing the voice of my shepherd when I read his word. So be in his word and hear his voice and follow him. My sheep hear my voice. And they follow me. So Jesus is our shepherd. Later this afternoon and probably into next week, we're gonna move farther. Don't worry. We're gonna cover more later. I just want you to get this. The Lord God, creator of all things, is my shepherd. Not because of who I am or what I've done, but because of what he did and that I believe in him. And he is my shepherd. Not he was my shepherd. He is my shepherd. And he is my shepherd. What does that mean? That means he is the one who is leading. That means he is the one that I am to follow. I'm going to follow him. So this morning as we stand, we're going to get ready for a song. Psalm 95:7 says, "For he is our God. We are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness." You know, God was shepherding Israel when they were in the wilderness, and most of the people didn't follow him. He was leading them, but they chose not to follow. They hardened their heart against God. This morning, God has given us his word. He works in our hearts. He convicts us. There's somebody in the room today who maybe needs to trust in Jesus and be saved. Somebody who knows they're saved, but you've never been baptized. You've never identified with him through baptism. There's other things in your life. Sin you need to repent. Sin you need to confess. Struggles and burdens you need to lay at the feet of Jesus. There are all kinds of things going in your heart today. He is your shepherd, so follow him. Don't harden your heart today. Respond in faith and obedience and humility today as he convicts. And while we sing.
Page 573.